Hey everyone, welcome to the Echo Podcast. My name is Ryan Becker and I am your host, and I'm excited for you to meet two really good friends of mine that are joining me for this episode. The first is Nina Madrigal. Nina is a student at Southern Adventist University who has a huge passion for service and for outreach. And once she graduates, she actually plans to go full-time into mission work. She is someone whose heart for people is evident just by looking at her, just by talking with her. It is incredible how she views other people. And our second guest is Jacob Fisher. Jacob is also a student at Southern and has a passion for media ministry, has a passion. He actually works for a Christian radio station. And he's someone who is just really passionate about really building people up, encouraging them and uplifting them and being a positive presence in the lives of those around him. And so I won't keep you from their opinions and perspectives any longer. I'm excited for you to hear from them. So welcome to Echo. Let's get started.
This episode of the Echo Podcast is sponsored by Southern Adventist University.
No pressure, but I think this might be one of the most important episodes that we do.
I mean,
thanks.
And if there's anyone equipped to handle it, it's the two of you. And then, you know, I just come in as a, just because I'm already here.
Yeah,
of course.
And they can't get rid of it. I just keep showing up for these recordings. They don't know what to do with these. I just keep talking while someone else is talking, so they just put me behind
the
microphone.
They keep writing your checks for you for some reason.
Yeah, I actually don't get paid at all for this. So they keep... Yeah, they do keep writing the checks. There's no point in cashing because they're for $0. The reason this is so important is because boundaries are something that everyone struggles with. And even if you're someone who thinks like you're really good with boundaries, you probably are actually not as good as you think with boundaries. Like this is. Yeah. And so I want to just add two important disclaimers to this. The first one is this. The three of us are not mental health professionals. And all Correct. That we can share regarding boundaries is our own experiences and what we've learned. And some of that might have come from mental health professionals. Some of it might have come from textbooks or, in-depth high-quality research. So they're informed perspectives to some degree too. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at boundaries in your own life, those are something that you have to determine for yourself. It's not something that we can necessarily determine for you. And so we hope that as you listen to this, you are gracious to us as we share our own experiences, and that you would extend grace to us if there's anything that we say that might kind of, you know, hurt a little bit or may stretch you a bit. And thank you for giving us the opportunity for listening to us as we share some of our experiences regarding boundaries. And so the table's kind of open on this one. We're going to be talking about boundaries from the perspective of dating relationships, of friendships, of family. That one is a whole mess on its own. Yeah. I think there's some general principles that apply to all three, but I think we can say some specific things to each. And so the first question I want to ask to both of you is, what is a boundary that you've set in your life? It could even be against yourself. Like, what is a boundary for you? Like, being an adult is learning to tell yourself no. What is a boundary that you consider very important for you that you do not let yourself or others cross?
Let me think about that.
So for me, one of those is I've actually had to set this with with family members. But I tell people, do not text me or call me after 11 p.m. I should really make it like 9 o'clock, but that's neither here nor there. but I'm an introvert, so I value some time to myself. And sometimes that happens right about 10:30, 11 o'clock. But I say, yeah, no matter what it is, if you call me at 11:01, I'm not answering. If you text me at 11, I'm not answering. And if you text me at 10:59, I'm probably still not answering because that means that I won't respond after 11. And I've had to be really firm on that because there are some people that have tried to stretch that and push that. And no matter what it is, I don't respond as a way of guarding myself from late night text messages or calls that are just not important. Guarding my own time to go to sleep and get away from my cell phone. Right. Yeah. So that's an important boundary that I've had to set. And hopefully that stalled for time for both of you.
That's a good one. That gave me plenty of time to think about this one. One boundary is for my friend group. It's a really solid group of 10 guys that I've known. A majority of them I've known since high school. But then a few of them have come on more recently. But one of the boundaries set is we don't let each other think about getting too down or too depressed, or think about thoughts that might lead to other things, if you catch my drift. A good example of this is, he won't mind, my buddy Joey. He probably lives the farthest away from all of us, and he's the one that is most colorful in his emotions and his emotional spectrum. So he easily falls into bouts of depression and, you know, and struggling with that type of stuff. So one thing is, if he ever makes a joke or if he ever says anything concerning, like in the group chat, or if we're talking on, say, Discord, I don't know if you know what Discord is. We, our entire friend group has made it a point to discourage that, to say, no, that's not how this works. We're going to sit down. We're going to play some games that we all like. We're going to talk to each other. And if we can, within the next like month, we're going to get together and see each other. Because I know that's one thing for him, is seeing us, I think, really boosts him emotionally. And I know it does for all of us as well. Because at least at this point in my life, all these guys are either living in Atlanta or they're up by Knoxville.
Yeah.
A few are here in Chattanooga, but we're scattered all throughout. So we make it a point to bring each other up and make the most of our times when we're together.
That's awesome. Nina, what about you?
I think for me is, in every aspect of my life, having like one thing that I'm invested in. And so like, I'm very much like a people pleaser. Like I love to help with things. And like, I in the past have gotten way too involved in too many things.
Story of my life.
Yeah. Right. Right. And so now like, with like school, like, different clubs and different like all these activities that I can like be invested and be a part of, like now I have like one that I'm involved in, so I can like be invested in that. At my church, like, oh my goodness, like I used to be involved in so many things in my church, which like I love, like, and like, you know, it's hard because it's like, oh, I'm helping and like all this kind of stuff, but like, I used to be involved in like being a worship leader, being on like other people's praise teams, in addition to that, helping with adventurers, helping with pathfinders, helping with children's care for like different things, and just like way too many things. So now I just have like one thing that I'm invested in there, and like just things like that, where I'm trying to like lessen my load a little bit, and just being able to like invest more fully into like one specific thing instead of like stretching myself and only being able to give a little bit to multiple things.
When I left Pathfinders, I left for good. So you are a much better person than me in that aspect.
See, I was never in Pathfinders. I've joked about this before, but the line, I basically, up until eighth grade when I was 14, this is not a joke. Like, this is legitimate. I, for better or for worse, I thought this. I literally thought that Pathfinders just went out and found paths. And I wondered, like, why is that? Why is that worth being a ministry? Why is that at all worth, like, doing?
Yeah.
I know better now. I just, at that point, it was past the age where I was interested in being involved in it anyway. I never particularly liked the uniforms, but I have a lot of respect for Pathfinders, and I think it is a very important ministry. So, not taking away from the importance of it. I feel you so much on too many things. I'm involved in, like, six major projects outside of my full-time job. My full-time job is salary, not hourly. So I'm working, I work probably 50 hours a week just on my full-time job. And then I also have a relationship. I violated a boundary. Like, we're talking about boundaries now. And even in my own life currently, I have somehow managed to violate a boundary I set for myself years ago in saying I'll never do more than three big projects. And now I have four podcasts, a podcast network. I have a full-time job. I lay pastor at a church. I run a news network, and I'm working on another development for another thing. Luckily, the advantage of that one is I don't have the expertise to actually develop it. I have to rely on other people. All I can do is actually plan for it and like dream it up. But yeah, like, I have way too much going on, and I'm actually in the position now where I'm having to take some steps back in order to deal with some personal things that have come up. And that's why I set that boundary, was because I needed room in my life to be able to handle things that come up. So yeah, it's I leading into that, or, you know, jumping off of that, what would you guys say is the reason boundaries are so important, and where do you think in your area they have been the most important?
So boundaries help us establish kind of a context, I would say, for our life and our life around us. I would say boundaries help us see signs that we don't want to go farther or past this set or this line, because we know from experience or from just knowledge what lies on the other side. Mm-hmm. One example, just a good one, is, you know, drinking, right? We don't do that because we know it leads to, you know, if you drink and drive, we know that leads to, you know, death, not for you, only yourself, but others. It could lead to alcoholism. It's prone in so many people's families, through, you know, mm-hmm. through genetics and stuff. And that itself comes with a bundle of issues. So when you set your boundaries, I'd say it's a good way. It's especially if you're serious about yourself and the people around you. Boundaries are really good for safety.
Yeah.
For letting people know that you care about them, because you're like, I'm not going to go past this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the way that I've thought about boundaries is I can sum it up in it, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And the kind of illustration or analogy I've often used is, you can do it either way with a human being on a planet or a fish in a lake, or even in the ocean, right? And any given body of water. The idea being that at any point, fish are able to jump out of the lake, right? And we mm-hmm. see this actually happen with whales and getting beached. And what happens is, yeah, they die as a result of it. They get and they can't get back in. And just because they can leave the water doesn't mean that they should leave the boundary of the water, because it turns out they can't breathe. They can't live. They can't find their food. And it's the same thing, I think, God, and this is what helped me understand the do's and don'ts part of our belief system, is that, not saying that all of the do's and don'ts are warranted or necessary, but in general, there are certain things that God has said, you shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. This is a boundary I'm setting for you, because if you step outside of this, there's going to be pain, there's going to be heartache, and you're going to hate potentially who you even become as a result of stepping out. And same in the garden, there was a boundary: do not eat this fruit, mm-hmm. Or you will surely die. Mm-hmm. And I think boundaries are needed and healthy, and I think they get demonized sometimes, and I think otherwise we just avoid them because we don't know how to set them, or we don't do the work of thinking about what is okay and what isn't okay.
Yeah. Or we have a bad history with bad boundaries that are there just, and they're there just to be restrictive, and mm-hmm. constricting, and that in a way is undermining of good boundaries, because we need good boundaries in life, because like you said, that things that are real and things that are painful actually exist in life, mm-hmm. but when that's offset by people that are like, by people who experience boundaries that say, oh, you just can't have a phone, or you just can't, you know, hang out with your friends because, you know, I think it's dangerous, or I think you're hanging out with the wrong friends. Mm-hmm. They contradict each other in a way that's potentially harmful for people growing up and needing to set normal boundaries in their future.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I've, speaking on bad boundaries, I think not only bad boundaries, I think also a poor system of accountability for keeping boundaries in the past.
Yeah.
So there are times where you're hanging out with the wrong friends, or you're dating the wrong person, and that's someone who sees the boundaries that you've set up and either regularly violates them, mm-hmm. or regularly lets you violate them without calling you out on it in love, right?
Yeah.
Your trusted and closest friends, family, and relationships should be those people that are allowed to speak into your life, mm-hmm. even when you may disagree with what they're going to say. And so a poor system of accountability in the past leads to basically, well, I've already come this far, why not, you know,
why not keep going?
You know, I've never been able to keep them before, so I may as well not set them now. So Nina, what are your thoughts here? Anything you want to add?
Well, I think that it can be so hard to set boundaries, especially like as Christians, because but it's like so important to have boundaries. But, you know, in the Bible, that verse, like, be a cheerful giver, you know, like, mm-hmm. I struggled with that verse for such a long time because it made me feel like, oh, like, I have to, like I said earlier, being involved in too many mm-hmm. things and everything that comes with that. Like, I felt like, oh, I have to just say yes to everyone and help mm-hmm. everyone. And, you know, I can never say no to anything because that's going to make me a bad Christian or whatever it is. Mm. But like, or even the verse that says, you know, carry each other's burdens, mm-hmm. I think is a big one too. So like trying to like be there for people and take on someone else's mm-hmm. whatever. But if you don't even have the right boundaries set up in your life, because having boundaries helps you be a complete person. It helps you to keep yourself in check. And if you don't even have that for yourself, how can you help someone else, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Where it says like carry each other's burdens, it also says like later in that passage, like you're also responsible for your own load, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like you have to also
take that into consideration.
You have to carry your own load too, and have that like at a healthy place to be able to help someone else, to be able to carry someone else's burden, you know?
One really interesting thing about that text, I'm actually really glad you brought it up, is that when, this is one of those things that it's just my pastor's going to come out, sorry. and I actually have a friend of mine to thank for showing me this, mm-hmm. Henry Johnson. But the idea in the original language, when it says in, you know, bear one another's burdens, it's weird because it also disagrees with itself later and says, nah, but you also have to carry your own load. Mm-hmm. You can't carry someone else's load if every man has to carry their own burden.
Yeah.
The idea behind that text through the original language of Greek is sustain or lift up someone else as they carry their burden. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that the community actually carries you when you're carrying a burden so heavy that you can't carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that your community can do is carry you. And each man then carries his own load. Cause like if you're wrestling with a death in your family, like I can't carry that. There's no way for me to carry that load for you.
Yeah.
I can't carry your I can't take your depression and carry it. Right. But instead, like you with your friend Joey, like all of you get together and lift each other up and mm-hmm. make sure that, no one's allowed to go below a certain point emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that's so huge. Like that is a perfect example of a boundary. I think another great example of a boundary, and I don't know why I never thought of it before now, but it's budget.
Budgeting?
Budgeting
true.
Is
absolutely.
Literally
absolutely.
Every category of a budget is just another boundary.
It's another boundary.
It's another boundary. It's saying, this money is set aside for this purpose, and mm-hmm. I won't let anything else, change that And I think budgeting is also the perfect example for boundaries too, because there are times where you can be flexible with a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that you never let someone ask about certain things in your life or talk about certain things in your life, but it may come the time that you end up in a relationship or a marriage with someone where it's time to let someone else into a boundary, right?
Yeah.
So there are times where actually letting down the wall is okay.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind boundaries is they protect you and they protect others. Mm-hmm. But they should never lie or manipulate others either. So, that's huge. Thank you so much for sharing that and for bringing that up. That's really, really cool. So what do you think are some really important boundaries that people should have? What would you suggest to someone who's like, I really want to set some boundaries in my life, but I don't really know where to start. What do you think you would tell them?
Hmm.
I would say starting with your daily routine is a good way to do it, you know, making sure you get enough. I think sleep is very important. As somebody who is prone to staying up too late, you know, playing video games.
I was going to say, you said Discord, so I already knew why you stay up too late, because I do the same thing.
Yeah, so playing video games or, you know, just talking with friends or, you know, watching YouTube or whatever. Being able to get that 7 or 8 hours in is just so important for you being able to function at all the following day. So a good example is within the last like half a year, I'm like, all right, midnight, it's bedtime.
Mm.
And that way I know when I'm waking up at 8:30, I've got that 7.5 hours in, and I feel great the rest of the day because I've adhered to that boundary.
Yeah. That's awesome. Nina, what about you?
I think also like looking at the people who are closest who you're closest to in your life, like your close relationships, whether that's your family, your friends, and looking, like taking a deep look at how those relationships work and just all the things within them, because like maybe they're really great and you can like point out the boundaries that you have set up in those already, but maybe they're not really great, and maybe you need to spend some time like figuring out how to set up boundaries with those people and whatever that's going to look like.
Kind of like a house cleaning effect with your friends. Going off that house cleaning thing, I just learned that another good thing is going through your social media and cleaning that up and setting boundaries on with how you're going to use social media. Because one thing that employers are looking at nowadays is how you function in the realm of social media. You know, are you doing keg stands, right? Are you doing those? And then if you're unreliable, or if you make questionable tweets, your employer is going to look at that and say, should I hire this person?
Yeah.
So you need to go through clean house and say, am I acting the right way in life in general? But how am I portraying myself in this other sphere?
Yep. I think a good question to ask too is, what has hurt me in the past? Now I don't want to operate out of pain to stop pain from happening, but rather what is an unjust thing that has happened to me? Because that's a moment where everyone has already set boundaries. Mm-hmm. You already operate with boundaries somewhere, somehow. Even if you say yes to everything, that just means your boundary is that you'll never say no. Which is not a good boundary to have. But that's what I'm saying. Like, understanding that you were already operating with some boundaries, looking introspectively, looking at your friends, and going to them and asking even for their input on what are things in your life that they have seen that is a boundary, and identifying what is already kind of whatever you're already operating on. That's huge. That is significant. And what's funny about saying yes to everything is saying yes to one thing means you're saying no to another by definition. So even if your boundary is still saying no,
you're breaking that boundary anyway.
People's minds are exploding.
It's one giant contradiction.
Yep. But that's exactly like what a bad boundary does, is it puts you in a place that now doesn't make sense, and you're like, I don't know how to move from here. Honestly, I think the reason that boundaries are, I would say, even going further than this, the reason that enforcing boundaries and understanding how to enforce those boundaries is important is because, and this is just, I've learned it to be true, there are some people, whether they're toxic individuals or just it's just a bad matchup, that when you give an inch, they will take a mile. And there are certain people, for better or for worse, that I've had to tell, quite literally, you're not to talk to me anymore. And that's not like I said that after meeting them, you know, and then saying, yep, nope, you're not allowed to talk to me. These are people who have consistently harassed for years, that I've tried every other possible method of trying to salvage a friendship or make the situation better. And I finally got to the point where I had to say, like, do not. The boundary for you, the boundary that I'm putting in place, is that you are not to call, text, or talk to me. Like, not even saying hello. Like, for all intents and purposes, we are strangers. I've had to completely remove them from my life. And the problem, or what ends up coming up, and this is why you have to be confident in boundaries, is because the problem is that some of those individuals have completely ignored or tried to ignore those boundaries and take advantage of when I'm around other people and try and approach me and talk with me.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the social situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because now there's going to be peer pressure. Like, there was one time where this happened and I had to stand firm. And say no. Like, you know, I've already told you, and I've had you repeat it back to me, that you are not to talk to me. And even with people watching who have no idea of any of the context, and that person has walked away, and this has happened a couple times, they'll, you know, my friends will turn to me and they'll go, why'd you do that? Like, that's so mean. And then I have to explain my boundary to them. But what's more important is that boundary is enforced. It is actually easier for me to explain a boundary than it is to recover from having that boundary broken by someone else.
Yeah.
So
in that situation, how did people who didn't know the context, how do they respond when you explain the situation? Like, how did that work out?
Sometimes they understand, sometimes they don't. And that's the bottom line. Like, those specific groups of people I was with were newer friends too, in a couple situations where that specifically happened. So in those moments, it was a matter of I'm going to just tell you flat out what this is. And there are the difficulty with these, and this is the difficulty with enforcing boundaries in social situations, is you are not the only one who has the story. So let's say, let's say, for example, and this actually isn't the case in this example, but let's say an example that it's a dating relationship. It is as much their story as it is your story.
Yeah.
Pastors struggle with this a lot. I've struggled with this before because we like to use relationships as examples in sermons and stories. But the problem is that now you are casting a light on someone else and telling someone else a part of someone else's story, potentially without their permission. So when I have to turn around and tell then my friends, this is the boundary, and they go, why? There are some details that I simply am not, it's not appropriate for me to tell them because it's not my, it's, that's not the thing that they need to know, unless it's something that could like really negatively impact them, right? And then I'm warning a friend of a danger. But in general, there are times where I've had to say, look, I need you to trust me that I wouldn't just flippantly say,
Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Like if they've never seen me do that before, even before they knew me, if they heard a reputation or whatever, then I need to tell them, like, do I seem like someone that would do that? Just out of nothing. Like my mood changed to me. I went from ha 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 ha. No. Like that mood change happens because there's a trigger, not just like, ah, ha, ha, I'm having a good time. And also I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's not how a boundary enforcement goes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that, yeah, that's how I've always had to wrestle with it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I think also going back to what you were saying, sometimes I think something that can be really hard about setting up boundaries is the fear of like being mean or like being rude or whatever it is. And it, especially with like toxic people and people who are, you know, maybe even like abusing you or whatever, it's the fear of like, of being mean or not. I think, especially as Christians, like not being Christian enough, not being loving enough to them, or, you know, all these things. But like you said earlier, setting up boundaries doesn't only keep us safe, but it keeps other people safe too. Because sometimes having to tell someone like don't talk to me, or having to kind of take a step back from a relationship and have someone not be part of your life anymore, is exactly what they need to see, like, oh, this is like a problem, you know. It's like in 1 Corinthians there's like this verse that says, it's a passage talking about I think sexual immorality or something, and it says like hand this man over to Satan. And like it's this phrase, like whenever I first heard it, I was like, what in the world? Like, hand him over to Satan? What is that? Like, what you're telling me? But it's like this idea of like pushing someone away so that they can recognize that like there's a problem, to be able to like
bounce back,
to be able to like draw them back in,
draw,
you know,
back in. Okay,
because sometimes you, if you just keep letting someone walk all over you, you keep letting someone cross those boundaries, you're just enabling them to continue doing that, right? And you have to at some point draw the line and draw up that boundary so that they can, and maybe like, maybe they're not going to recognize it at, you know, at that very moment. Maybe it's going to take a couple people telling them like, hey, like you can't be in my life, for them to finally realize. But it's, it comes back to, I think boundaries like with people comes back to like, how can you love them best? And sometimes loving someone best is like taking that step back, which is confusing, I think, initially.
Definitely.
Like, and I've had people in my life for the same thing, like, and it's so hard because we think like loving someone is like just being there for them no matter what, like supporting them, which like is important. But if you're like enabling them to have like toxic behaviors and letting them like step all over you, you know, the Proverbs say guard your heart above all else because it's the wellspring of life. Like you have to make sure that like you're like taking care of yourself too, you know? And that's why it's so important to set up those boundaries, and the fear of being mean or being rude to someone can hold you back from that. But realizing that sometimes it is the most loving thing to do, to set up that boundary.
There is a, there's actually a sentence for part of what you've described that, that, that really kind of encapsulated it for me and helped me understand it. And it's this: you teach people how to treat you. By letting them walk all over you, or by saying no to certain things, you teach people what is okay to do to you.
Definitely.
And that right there was like, okay, what am I, like that, just that question alone, what am I teaching people by how I respond to them? What have I let them do that actually isn't okay? And what have I taught them that is okay? Because at the end of the day, you are teaching someone And it may be someone that needs legitimate help. I just talked with someone who was in an abusive relationship, and it was this on and off thing. And I was like, if you keep doing this, I'm not saying that it's your fault that, you know, this person does these things to you. That's mm-hmm. on them, 100%. How they violate your boundaries and hurt you, like, that's not okay. The issue is, at some point, you are teaching them or telling them that what they're doing is okay.
Yeah.
By allowing them to do it to you and stay in your life. Mm-hmm. By removing it, by removing them, you're showing them that the way that they are behaving is not acceptable to you and is not okay.
Yeah.
But by letting them continually getting away with it, and by just letting them have all of the privileges that they had before they hurt you over and over and over again, you're just telling them, yeah, who I am right now and how I act is totally fine, and I can keep doing this as long as you keep letting me.
Yeah.
It can be really dangerous. I think... The last thing that I would add here, and I'm going to ask, you know, for some final thoughts from you guys, is with families, I think there's a different kind of fear. Mm. And it's the fear that, they're my you only get one family. I have to. They're my blood. And blood is thicker than water, which actually, if you Google that phrase, it means the exact opposite of the way we use it.
Nice.
The it was used by soldiers in ancient history to basically say that I believe it is the blood of a brother is thicker than the water of the womb. And the idea being soldiers who fought together and bled together were closer than family.
Wow.
So that phrase actually beats the opposite. Every time we use it,
I can see it more so that way.
Yeah, like it makes sense,
yeah.
Right? So the encouragement that I would tell you is this: as someone who's had to draw boundaries in my own family life because of mental illness and behavioral mm-hmm. disorders, is simply this. Friends become family too. And when you are in Christ, you are a part of the family of God. You mm-hmm. do not just get one family. Yeah. You get multiple.
Yep.
The other thing too is, just because they are related to you does not give them permission to abuse you, mm-hmm. to hurt you, and to take advantage of you, manipulate you, fill in the blank there.
Yeah.
Your main responsibility is to yourself.
Yeah.
There may be some judgment along the line, along the way, that comes from either within your family or even from, sometimes the danger is that the church will even judge you. Mm-hmm. But that's why it's so important to be confident in what your boundary is.
Yeah.
And being willing to enforce it, to say, yeah, I, despite what anyone else tells me or however they encourage me, if they tell me, just like if they tell me to spend certain money that is budgeted for something else on this thing, I say no. I am confident that this money is for this. You have to be confident that who you are wanting to be is the direction you want to go. And this is an important step to that. It's a vital step to that, is setting boundaries and protecting yourself from people that would abuse you or harm you. And there may be a waiting period before you can actually enforce those boundaries, especially if you haven't moved away from home yet. But I would encourage you to keep praying, to keep talking with extended family, right? The mm-hmm. the family of Christ and your friends and those closest to you outside of your household that have become family to you. Family is so much bigger than just the people that you are related to. So I just wanted to offer some very specific encouragement that way. And if there is anyone who wants to know or talk a little bit more about that dynamic specifically, you are welcome to reach out to us in the show, and I'd be happy to talk with you. Mm-hmm. But Jacob and Nina, we'll start with you. Anything that you want to leave listeners with? Any final thoughts?
I think boundaries all come back to knowing who you are as a person, and like knowing what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. So I think that that's like where it starts, is just taking some time. Like if you don't know where to start, if you don't like know what to do, like taking some time, like to understand who you are and who God says you are and what he says you deserve, you know, because like even God has boundaries, right? God has things that he allows and he doesn't allow. And he's very clear. Like he's perfect, right? He has perfect mm-hmm. boundaries. And so, just realizing that like you have such value and that you should be treated right, and how that's going to look like in your life, and just taking some time to really think about that. Talk to mentors, talk to whoever it is, if you need help with that, or And I also think, also just a little plug, a really good book to read is the book Boundaries by Drs. Cloud and Townsend. They have a lot of book on boundaries, but there's one called Boundaries that's just kind of like a general boundaries. Like, book totally changed my life as a person who, like, struggle so much with boundaries. Like, reading that book, I've had to read it multiple times, and I will have to keep reading it forever, probably, just to keep learning more about it. But it's a great read.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that, and we'll include a link in the show notes for it for sure. Jacob, you want to finish this out?
Sure. I would say I'm very practical sometimes in life, and I would say use boundaries as a tool in your life. Talk with your friends, family, relationships, people in your church, and utilize boundaries to make those relationships the best versions of themselves that they can be.
Mm.
I would say utilizing boundaries in that way is something that can go a long way in your life, and I would encourage everybody to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. I think that's an excellent point for us to land on. So listeners, we hope that you can take something from this. Something can be beneficial. And if you want to have your input as well, we're always happy to listen. So you can reach out to us on social media or on theprojectrefresh.org. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to Echo and for being on this journey with us. If you're watching on YouTube, we hope that you'll leave a comment, subscribe, hit that like button. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever podcatching app that you like the most, we hope that you'll hit that subscribe button, that you'll leave a review, and that you'll engage with us. And also, for more content from Project Refresh that's like Echo and some of the other shows that we host, then head on over to theprojectrefresh.org. Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to us, and we'll see you next week.
This episode of the Echo Podcast is sponsored by Southern Adventist University.